Therein lies the good news of the gospel, that Christ came not for the righteous, but for the unrighteous. And our faithfulness is found in his faithfulness to us and all that he has done for us. During this Advent season, our church family has been focusing on the names, the titles, and the attributes of the child born in Bethlehem. In Isaiah, we found him to be Emmanuel, God with us. How wonderful that the God of the whole universe, who lived among his people in the Old Testament in the tabernacle and in the temple, would now come in the flesh, God with us, with the purpose of dying, that what we read in Revelation is that we may live with him forever, and he will be our God, and we will be his people. In Isaiah, we found him to be simply wonderful, Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Recognizing those attributes of the Lord Jesus Christ, this babe born in the manger, that are from everlasting to everlasting. We saw him as a branch that grows from the stump of Jesse, this mighty kingdom of David, which through unfaithfulness has been cut down. And yet from it will come this small sapling, whose kingdom will know no end. And he will have a kingdom that will last forever. And he will conquer as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then last week we met him as the Son of Righteousness, who rises in the midst of our darkness and brings light and healing. And John speaks of him in the first chapter of his gospel account, and he calls him the light of life. And then later on in Revelation, he says that in the New Jerusalem, there was no sun and there was no moon. For God himself was their light, and the Lamb, John 1, is their sun. And I began this series by quoting from Shakespeare. Makes me look good every once in a while. From Romeo and Juliet. What is in a name? That which is called a rose by any other name would smell as sweet. Now that might be true for roses, and for fruits and for vegetables, and even for people the likes of you and I. But that is definitely not the case in the name of Jesus Christ. So this evening, I want you to know him by name. But more than that, I want you to know him. I want you to know him through the power of his name and all that it means for us. So would you read with me from Matthew's account, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. But as he considered these things, this is Joseph, after he had heard about Mary being pregnant. It says this, but after he had considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And here's the good news. And she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Why? For he will save his people from their sin. And then from the account just read in Luke, and the angel said to them, to the shepherds, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Would you pray with me? Father, would you now bless the preaching of your word? I pray that it wouldn't be fancy, but in the simplicity of your word explained, that your Holy Spirit would come in power, for without the power of your Holy Spirit, there is no change. Would you take your word and Unwrap it as a gift for each heart this night. For those who do not know you as Savior and Lord, I pray that they would hear and see and that you would open blind eyes. That they would come to faith in Christ this day. For those who need to know the comfort and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ in trial, in sickness, in sorrow, I pray that you would comfort them as their counselor and Prince of Peace. I pray for those that are doubting and fearful, would you grant them your grace and mercy? For you are Lord and God to all. And you invite us, as we just heard some, to come. Not when we're good, not when we're righteous, for we will never be good enough, and we will surely never be righteous to meet your law's demand. But instead, you invite us to come as unfaithful, as doubters and fears, and you meet us there. We're so thankful and grateful. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever been disappointed with a present that you received from somebody you thought would know better? I saw a meme on Instagram. I should have saved it, but I didn't. But it went something like this. If you want to die in your sleep, buy your wife a vacuum cleaner and wrap it nicely and put it under the tree. Now the reality is that oftentimes we're disappointed. But you know what we're disappointed with? Is we're disappointed with the gifts that we need. And it's the gifts that we want that often bring us happiness, but we're often disappointed with the gifts that we truly need. When Christ came to this earth, many people missed him. Many people were disappointed with him. Many people were frustrated with the reality of his teaching and his preaching. Many people were disappointed with the people that he chose to hang out with. And they were profoundly disappointed. And I would suggest to you that there are many people in our world today, and maybe some of you here tonight, who again will be disappointed. You will be disappointed with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the question is why? Why were they disappointed with Jesus? And why might you today, this evening, be disappointed with Jesus? In Jesus' day, most people missed him because the expectations of what they thought the Messiah should be were different than what Jesus was actually coming to do. They wanted a conquering hero. They wanted justice from the Romans. They wanted power and might and a kingdom like King David's to rule over all the earth in a temporal reality. That's what they were looking for. And yet they found a Messiah who hung out with prostitutes and sinners and ate with them, to their profound disappointment. They didn't get what they wanted. And sometimes the reality is that the same with us. You're disappointed with Jesus. And you're disappointed tonight, and maybe you'll walk away disappointed tonight. Because after all, it's the same old Jesus died for sinner stuff. But that's not what I want. And what we end up doing is we want Jesus to be who we want Jesus to be. We want Jesus to meet our desires and our wants. But don't talk to me about my needs. Because needs are a different reality that we don't like to talk about. And so we come to the same person of Jesus and we say, this is what I want. This is what I desire. This is what I want for our world. And we find ourselves disappointed. But Jesus is given the name Jesus. And Joseph is told by the angel that she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And then it gives a reason or the definition for the very name of Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sin. You shall call his name Jesus. Some of you might not be aware, but Jesus actually is the same name that is Joshua in the Old Testament. Now, if you don't understand what the name Joshua actually means, you're going to miss what Jesus means. Joshua means Yahweh saves. And you'll remember that Joshua came in to conquer the land because God had told them, I am going to give you this land. And Joshua's name reflected what God was doing for his people by saving them from slavery in Egypt and bringing them into the promised land. It's a picture of what God is doing throughout the scriptures. But is it any wonder it says Joshua is Yahweh will save. And Joseph is told, you shall call him Jesus. For he, Yahweh, will save his people from their sins. And then the angels tell the shepherds this great news, and they say, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you was born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Allow me to ask you this evening, is the birth of Jesus Christ good news of great joy to you? Or is it simply disappointment? For most, it is disappointment. And maybe you're disappointed with Jesus tonight, and therefore you are disappointed with this message. Because yawn, after all, is what I expect. But we miss it because we're looking through the lens of want and not of desire. Maybe tonight you're disappointed with Jesus because he does not meet where it itches. In other words, maybe as I'm going to quote a song that will remind you. Maybe this is your reflection of Jesus. This was back in the 80s, I think it was. Here's the song. Lord, I need to talk to you. Starts good. There's so much on my heart. So many burdens make it hard. And I don't know where to start. I thank you for my family, your mercies, and your love. Now to the more important things. I'll give you my magic lamp to rub. Give me this. I want that. Bless me, Lord, I pray. Grant me all the things I want to make it through this day. Make me wealthy, keep me healthy. Fill in what I miss on my never-ending shopping list. Lord, you've been so good to me. How could I ask for more? But since you're asking, since you said to ask, I will. Because what else is prayer for? The cattle on the thousand hills, they all belong to you. I don't need any cows right now, but something else will do. Give me this, give me that. Bless me, Lord, I pray. Grant me all the things I need to get me through this day. Make me wealthy, keep me healthy. Fill in what I miss on my never-ending shopping. See, that's what we want. And we want Jesus to meet those needs. And maybe you're at a place a want. And maybe those wants are actually pretty important. Maybe you want your marriage to be better. That's a good thing. Maybe you want your husband to listen. That's a good thing too. Maybe you want a promotion. Maybe there's any number of different things. And the sad reality is we live in a world where preachers will preach. That's exactly what God wants to do for you. Now, I'm not suggesting that God doesn't want to meet our needs. After all, Jesus does ask us to ask, for he who did not spare his only son, how much more will he not give you all things, ye of little faith? Maybe you want to see the problems that engulf our world, and you want a conquering hero in Jesus today. You see those problems that arise, that bring forth and come from earthly results, and they're earthly problems, and they're important realities. But what's the problem? The problem actually, at the root of it all, whether it's our wants or whether it's what we see around the world, is sin. Straight and simple sin. Sin that separates us from God, and therefore it ruins all that it touches. It ruins our lives, including our relationships. We see abuse all around us and say, I want to fix that, but the root of that is sin. I see greed and I wonder why people don't care for one another. And at the root of that is sin. I see the oppressive nature of countries and regimes and peoples. And at the root of that is sin. I see the greed of politicians. And at the root of that is sin. I desire equity and justice. And the reality is that those are not present because of sin. I see sex trafficking and modern-day slavery, and at the root of all of those realities that we want to change is sin. But we don't want to talk about sin. Because to talk about sin means that we need a savior. And I don't want a savior, I want to save the world myself. And the reality is this, that all of these have in common the very same thing that everyone in this room has in common. And that is that we are sinners desperately in need of a Savior. We are sinful people who are judging other sinful people according to my sinful standard that they are not willing to live up to. And so therefore I want peace, but I will hate in order to get it. And sin begets sin, begets sin, begets sin. And it never seems to fix the problem. Why? Because we actually never address sin. But the temporal problems that the world have an everlasting reality that we're not willing to face today. That there is an everlasting reality to them. See, before we can be the savior of the world, we need to be saved from ourselves. And in order to do that, we need to be saved from the wrath of God that justly we deserve. Well, why would a loving God condemn us? And maybe in your shopping list or in your desires to change the world, you're missing that until we are saved from sin, we can never be at peace with one another, because we're never at peace with God. And the problem of sin begets sin, but salvation begets the righteousness of Christ that has an effect even into the realities of our society. But you might say, Pastor, isn't talking about sin so judgmental? Isn't it condemning? And so therefore we should not actually make people feel bad, especially not on Christmas Eve. But the reality is that all of us are sinners. As Ben Parrish's ugly Christmas sweater says, all of us are on the naughty list. But the reality is that it's not God who condemns us. It's our sin that condemns us. And it's ourselves who condemn ourselves because of our sin and rebellion against God. But the good news is that you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin. I bring you good news today. You, I bring you good news today of great joy, which shall be for all people, Jews and Gentiles alike. Unto you, for you, the unfaithful, the unloving, the unkind, the sinner, unto you is born this day, in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. All of us are familiar with John 3:16. Even if we haven't opened our Bibles, we read it in football games when they hold it up. Many of us miss the verses right after that. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. For God so loved the world, a sinful, broken, rebellious world, that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish and have everlasting life. That's what we know. But notice these verses. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. Well, that's good news. But to save the world, in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that light has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than light. In other words, they were disappointed because their works were evil. Maybe this evening you're going to be disappointed again. But the scriptures tell us that this is good news of great joy. That Jesus came to meet not simply our wants, but our greatest need, that which separates us from God. To die to pay the penalty for that which we all deserve. And this is our greatest need. So this Christmas, I encourage you, don't be disappointed with Jesus, because you've defined him by your wants. Know him in your need, and you will find a greater joy than you could ever imagine. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we are grateful and thankful that though you could have condemned the world and sent us all to hell, instead you sent your Son to become an obedient sacrifice on our behalf. And Father, we thank you. There is no greater joy but to have peace with God. And that peace that is offered by God through the death of his Son, his resurrection. And Father, we thank you that you will return to take us to be with you, so that you will not only save us from the penalty of sin and the power of sin here on earth, but one day we will be in your presence and there will be no sin anymore. And so we say, come, Lord Jesus, come. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name.